You frequently hear someone say, I don't know, I can't seem to get into the Christmas spirit this year. Actually, the Bible doesn't much care about that. Instead, it asks us if we are attending to the spirit of Christmas who is getting into us. Let us pray. Oh God, we ask that your Spirit, the same Spirit who inspired the writings of Holy Scripture, would now take those words and carry them into the inner chambers of our hearts, that there we might treasure your word until it changes our lives. We ask this in the name of the coming Savior. Amen. I love children's Christmas pageants. I just love them. Last week, our school put on a beautiful one. And tomorrow night, the children's ministry of our church will present their annual pageant here in the sanctuary. You've all been to these pageants. You know the story well. You know exactly what's going to happen. Well, actually, with children, you never know exactly what's going to happen. But because you know the story, you know what's supposed to happen. And you know all the characters. There are those beautiful little cherubs, all dressed in white with tinsel halos on their head, who proclaim, "I have good news of great joy for all the people." Cowering in front of these angels are the shepherds, who are always dressed in more drab outfits. And they're carrying around with them the kids who get the favorite role in the pageant, which is to be one of the animals. The shepherds are always terrified of the angels. They're supposed to be terrified, so they always do this. It's my favorite act in the entire pageant. Now, the character role in the pageant always goes to Herod, who's supposed to look as despicable and mean as he can when he talks to the three wise men who always get the best costumes of anybody in the pageant. Now, Joseph always seems to be kind of beside the point in these Christmas pageants, kind of as he does in Luke's Gospel as well. He doesn't really have any good lines. All he's supposed to do is just look pathetic when he tries to get a room at the inn. Doesn't matter, the innkeeper always does this. Joseph slumps and away they walk. Now Mary has the toughest role in the pageant. She's supposed to look both peaceful and yet somewhat ambivalent about all of this. And as complex as it is to portray that, I'm impressed that every little girl does this so wonderfully. Last Wednesday at the school pageant, I saw a 6-year-old girl pull this thing off perfectly. She walked onto center stage with Joseph, dropped the baby in the manger, then she looked out at the audience and gave them the most beatific smile you could imagine. The serene face on that little girl was the exact same face that you would see on any masterpiece painting of the Madonna and Child. It's the face we've all seen every time that Mary is portrayed. You all know that face. We're fascinated by it. What is it that is behind that quiet, melancholy face of the Virgin Mary? Luke, who wrote this story, has made it abundantly clear that there's something different going on with Mary from all the other characters. Something unique about her. Some quiet loneliness that she alone carries through the Christmas narrative. Maybe that's why we always make Mary the star, because there's some special place that she has in our hearts. Because sooner or later, you all have a Christmas like Mary's, a quieter, more melancholy kind of Christmas. A Christmas that kind of separates you from everybody else who's having a great holiday. Luke tells us that when the shepherds arrived breathlessly at the manger and described this story about seeing an angel and the whole heavenly host singing in the skies, and then they told the message of what the angel said, that this baby that they were pointing at right there, this baby is going to be the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord, the Messiah, I'm telling you, the Lord. In chapter 2, verse 18, we're told that all who heard the shepherds were amazed at what they told them. In verse 20, we're told that after the shepherds saw the child, they then returned home, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen. Verse 18, everyone's amazed. Verse 20, people are glorifying and praising God. But sandwiched in between verse 18 and verse 20 come Mary's lines in verse 19. Mary is not amazed, and she's not glorifying and praising God. We're told in verse 19, but Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Isn't that striking to you? Everybody else is saying glory, hallelujah. But Mary can't seem to get into the Christmas spirit. She is the one who is actually closest to the Christmas miracle. And yet, the way Luke tells the story, she appears more of a stranger to the miracle than even the shepherds are. The best she can do is to treasure their words about him being the Messiah. Ponder them in her heart. What does that mean? The word for treasure in the Greek has the connotation of holding something carefully because you're concerned about it. The word for ponder has the connotation of mulling over something, maybe even conversing with it. So what this verse tells us is that Mary took these words about her baby into her heart, where she began to converse with these words that were so ponderous and so strange she couldn't understand them. The Messiah, the arrival of salvation. Ponderous. It may be that this Christmas, it is easier for you to relate to the pondering of Mary than it is to the elation of the shepherds. It's just this last week that the fires finally burned out from beneath the rubble of the Twin Towers in New York City. In a couple of days, thousands of families will have their first Christmas without the loved ones who died there and in the Pentagon and in the hijacked planes. The leaders who have been waging this war of terrorism against us are still on the loose. Anthrax still plagues so many of the office buildings where so many of you work. Some of you still haven't been able to get back into your offices. And this Christmas, the economy is not exactly doing backflips. To these national concerns, some of you will add your own personal, pressing concerns that you have with work, or with relationships that are not as intimate as you would like, or health that feels like it is slipping through your fingers. If that's your experience this Christmas, then do not be surprised if you don't relate so well to the shepherds who are running around singing joy to the world. You may feel like you're a stranger who has somehow just stumbled into the Christmas story. Or maybe you're suffering from shepherd envy. Maybe you're saying, I don't feel what they feel. I wish I did, but I don't. I don't see any angels. I don't hear any good news. I don't hear anything about glory to God. I don't have that experience. Tell you the truth, I don't know how I can enter into this Christmas story. Well, Mary would tell you that you don't have to worry about entering into the Christmas story, for it is the story that will enter into you. A New Testament scholar, Raymond Brown, has written that Mary is holding a revelation that is penetrating but unclear. I find those words to be very helpful. I find them to be a perfect description of the Christmas experience many people have. They're holding on to a story that is penetrating but unclear. The Christmas gift of hope that you will receive this year from the Lord God is a greater gift than you can possibly fully understand. You don't have to understand it all now. Just receive it and start a conversation with this hope. Don't rush to interpret the hope too quickly, though, because it takes time for hope to mature. When our daughter was a little girl, my mother's husband began a practice of giving her a savings bond every year for Christmas. Now, when she was 6 years old, she was not overwhelmed to receive a savings bond. She was much more interested in her new dolls. But I'm telling you that when she got ready to go to college, she was glad that both she and the savings bond had matured. It takes a while to understand the value of something you've received. Every child in a pageant knows that tomorrow night we're just celebrating the birth of our hope. If you don't yet understand how this hope is going to lead to any peace in your troubled life, much less peace on earth, you don't have to understand that now. You just have to take the hope to heart. And like Mary, eventually, the understanding will come. As Luke continues his gospel, and the next scene, where we find Mary and Joseph and their son, Jesus is a 12-year-old boy. He's gotten lost from his parents somehow, and they've been frantically looking for him. They find him at long last in the temple in Jerusalem teaching the elders. When Mary starts to scold him, Jesus responds to Mary by saying, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Luke tells us that Mary responded by treasuring these words and pondering them in her heart. There it is again. The exact same phrase again. Which reveals that Mary is continuing to have this great internal conversation with what happened 12 years ago on the night Jesus was born. She's still trying to unpack that event, still trying to understand, still having this ponderous conversation with what God had begun in her life. Now, according to all four of the Gospels, 30 years later, when Jesus began his ministry, there was no common memory about that holy night when Jesus was miraculously born. Nobody seems to know about that. That means that the glory hallelujahs of the shepherds had long died away. That is often the way of ecstatic religion. It is given but for a short while. It does not seem to endure. What does endure is Mary's persevering, ponderous conversation with the hope that she witnessed on the night Jesus was born. That perseveres. In the Gospels, Mary is the only link between the baby Jesus and the man who has assumed his role as Messiah. Only Mary and the growing, unfolding conversation she's having about what is happening to her son. In Luke's writing, he has woven in this wonderful subplot about what is happening to Mary as she watches what is happening to her son, as she is continuing the conversation of the hope that begun on the night Jesus was born. It all comes together for Mary in Luke's second volume of writings, the Acts of the Apostles. After Jesus was crucified and risen and had ascended into heaven, after his mother somehow survived all of that, Luke makes a point of telling us that Mary was with the other disciples in the upper room, where they were commanded by Jesus to wait and to pray. That means that she was there at the moment that the Holy Spirit rushed into that room at Pentecost and filled everyone with the power to proclaim the gospel. She was there when Peter stood up and, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to preach. And she heard Peter say, "This Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord." The exact same words that the angel said on the night Jesus was born. And now, at long last, filled with the Holy Spirit, Mary understands. Now she gets it. Now she has the same hope that the shepherds had on the night Jesus was born. Only her hope has not come in a moment. It has come over the course of a lifetime that is only now understood. Finally understood. Last week I spent time not only attending Christmas pageants, but also joining my pastoral colleagues in bringing communion to some of our older members who are shut into their houses. I just love doing this. But every time I do, I get hopelessly behind schedule because I cannot tear myself away from these folks as they tell the most powerful stories. It's taking me a while to understand this, but they're not just telling stories. What they are actually doing is interpreting their lives to their pastor. It's as if, like Mary, after Pentecost, they're saying to me, "Now I get it. Now I see it. I understand now." Well, that comes near the end of the story. Tomorrow night, we're celebrating the beginning of all of this hope. And like a child, you're going to have to decide which role in the pageant you really want to take this year. Where will you find your place in this great drama? If you're having a wonderful Christmas this year, then your lines have already been written for you by the shepherds. Your role is to come and to enjoy this experience and then to go back home glorifying and praising God. But if you find that the Christmas story is wonderful news, but strange to your own experience, then you are invited to settle in to Mary's role. Doesn't matter what you're feeling, there's already been lines written to describe what's happening to you this Christmas. And even if you find yourself in Mary's role this year, you have to know that you're not a stranger to this drama. The stranger is the new hope that is born within you. You do not have to understand this hope. You don't even have to feel hopeful. You just have to take in the stranger. Let us pray. The fulfillment of your hope, O God, is more than we can handle. So all we ask is that the hope would be reborn in our hearts, that the sacred conversation may shape our lives until we understand. Amen.